Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Paul's Letter to the Philippians, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about this letter tucked in near the end of our Bible, after the Gospels, a letter that shares concerns, experiences, and the theology of Paul. My name is Norm Seeley, and I am a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and I wonder about a lot of things. Monday through Friday, I will be wandering my way through Philippians, a little bit at a time. I don't have notes, and although I do have some experience in Greek and reading the Bible, I'm not looking up anything. I'm just talking off the top of my head. Historians may disagree with me, others may take issue with my analysis, but it's been my experience that as I wonder, I can begin to hear what God is saying to me right here and right now about my life and the world that I live in. And I'm hoping that you might have the same experience as we wonder together. And by the way, I do try to be accurate when I talk about history or language. I'm not making things up. Drew Winters provided the music for this podcast, and I just need to say thank you. Isn't it great? And I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes. Every once in a while, we may go a couple minutes long. You should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I've recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley, N-O-R-M-S-E-L-I. Or an even easier, you can find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, you can make a donation through CanadaHelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So now let's see what Paul has to say to a Gentile church almost 2,000 years ago. And more importantly, what God might be saying to us. Today it's Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. That's all, just a couple of verses. We are very close to the end of the letter. We will finish it off tomorrow. Right now, basically, Paul is just putting all his X's and O's at the bottom, all his hugs and kisses at the end of his letter to the Philippians. Yesterday, that concluding began. In fact, he could have ended yesterday. It's kind of why I think there might be fragments. It seems like almost three endings tacked together. But anyway, yesterday he was concluding his letter, telling the Philippians, telling anyone reading it, telling us to be gentle with everybody, to be kind, to rejoice, and to trust in God. Not much controversy there, do you think? And probably not much controversy in what comes next. So here we go. It's Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Some more nice words. Not a lot of controversy, really, when you think about it. So what is he saying? Well, he's saying that, to me anyway, that... No. Okay, I'm not going to preach it, but it, as I'm about to say it, it's suddenly falling into sermon form. So yesterday he was talking about Euodia and Syntyche and how they should resolve their difference and recognize and be of one mind in Christ. So there is dissension, there's difficulty in the church in Philippi, and he wants that to stop, which makes perfect sense. So I will infer from that that what's happening in the church is that they are focusing on their argument, on their fighting, and I have some sympathy for that. You know, when somebody ticks you off, you focus on everything that they said that's really gotten under your skin, and you tell yourself that what they said about you is not true, or you tell yourself that what they said about you is now going to inspire you to live differently and be better, but you're still mad that they noticed, or whatever it is, but you're focusing on that. You might be focusing on defeating them in an argument or getting back at them for hurting your feelings or disagreeing with you or making you feel the way you do, whatever. And I tell you, these days, it's so easy to do that. I know there's algorithms that aid and abet this, but even without the algorithms, I think I would tend to do it anyway. But the thing is, stuff arrives in my media feed, whether that's my YouTube channel or, you know, pops up in my Google News or whatever. Stuff there shows up to clickbait. It wants me to engage, right? And the algorithms seem to know that I love to engage with the things that make me angry. You send me an article or a video or a notice about something that I already know about and I think is lovely, I may not look at it. But you send me another video from that trial or from that thing or that person, oh my goodness, I'm right there leaning in on it going, yeah, I really can't stand that rotten... boy, oh boy, when they get theirs, it'll be worth it. And by the way, if you're guessing who I'm talking about, you're wrong. Because I'm talking about a whole bunch of different people at different times. That's the thing, is I can spend a lot of my time getting all riled up about people who upset me and anger me. It's one of the reasons that I recommend to a lot of people my practice, which is to read the newspaper. Gosh, I'm sounding like Paul. Keep doing with the things I have learned. I'm more than ever a newspaper fan because I can open the newspaper, I can look at the articles, and I can read them at my speed. They're not coming at me like a video. They're not, algorithms aren't sending them to me. I can go from page 1 to page 6 and skip all those pages in between that have things that I don't want to know about or don't need to know about or will upset me right now. I can read a paragraph in and go, this is upsetting. I'm going to put that aside for a moment and read about a lovely play that just opened up at a theater downtown. And then I'll come back to that. I can do it at my speed, so I can process it and I can be in control instead of letting it be in control. Fine with algorithms, social media, everything going on, I can start to lose control because I keep going after that thing that gets my attention. And it's usually the negative stuff that gets my attention first. It just does. I don't know whether we're wired that way, but I mean, you know, way, way back, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, was that old saying in the newspaper business, before we were worrying about YouTube and video feeds. We are fascinated by the things that are upsetting. And with the rise of social media, private media, media I can hold in my hands, you talk about people doom scrolling, just going through their phone and just feeling worse and worse and worse. I think Paul is talking to us. I think Paul is talking to people then, and because they were doing it, they were focusing on their arguments, their disagreements, their fighting. They were focusing on how everything was falling apart. This is not good. Paul's upset with us. We're fighting. And he's saying, stop that. Stop that. He says, think about these things. Focus on these things. And what are those things? Whatever's true. Focus on truth, not on rumor, innuendo, fake news. The trick is to figure out what's real and what's not real. But focus on what you know to be true. Focus on whatever is honorable. If I have a disagreement with you, I can tell you about it. I don't have to passively, aggressively hint at it. I don't have to go behind you and chat with people and speak behind your back. I don't have to slander you in an effort to quiet your voice that might be in opposition to mine. No. The honorable thing to do is to acknowledge our disagreement and discuss it and see if there is common ground? Might one of us change our minds? Is there a way that we can work together even though we're not in agreement? That's the honorable thing to do. And I think that Paul is asking for that. I don't think that he's asking for arguments or disagreements to cease, but to go about it honorably. So don't be talking behind each other's backs. Don't be slandering. Don't make things up. I find that happens very often with very well-meaning people. They do believe that the ends justify the means. So we know this thing we're aiming for is a good thing and will benefit everybody. But they may not fully understand it, so we're going to lie to them. We're going to manipulate them into doing the thing. And then, oh, they'll be glad, you know. That's not honorable. Honorable is to trust people. And if you need to educate people. And then honorable is to also live with the result if they don't agree with you. That's hard. But that's what Paul said. We should be focusing on that. And I need those words. I hear those words because every now and again, I'm planning in my head, somehow I can cut that person off at their knees. Cutting somebody off at their knees, you're not really listening to what's coming out of their mouth, are you? You're not hearing their argument. You're not considering their heart. You're just trying to get them out of your way. At least I am. Think about these things. Focus on whatever is just. Just, not fair. Just, right? Fair is, you know, if I find $100 and there's five of us, fair is everybody gets 20. But just is where maybe I don't need any of that money because financially I'm in a pretty good place right now. And my friend over there didn't eat yesterday and doesn't really have much of a shot. So maybe just is where the four of us recognize we're fine and give that person $100. Or I don't take any, but three people, you know, take 30, or yeah, three people take 30, and another person takes 10. Each basically doing what is appropriate to our needs. To our needs. Fair means we all get the same thing. Just means we all get what we need. Because we do believe in faith that there is enough for everybody to have what they need. And frankly, that may be a faith statement and people say, well, that's naive, but it's never been proven to me that there isn't enough for everybody to have what they need. Not always to meet all of our wants, but to meet our needs, there is enough. And when we believe that, then we don't have to hoard, then we don't have to be greedy. That to me is what focusing on what is just is all about. And I take that. Focus on whatever is pure. I struggle with that one a little bit. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's fine for you. Whatever is pure. My problem with focusing on what is pure is it tends to divide the world into pure and impure. Holy and not holy. It leads to, well, it can lead to, doesn't always have to, of course, it can lead to racism. It can lead to a sense of being better than those less pure people. Now, I think that, and I, he just knows I've said this enough, I think Paul struggles with life. He doesn't like living. He doesn't like his body. He doesn't like the way he lives in the world. I don't know what it is. Could be a whole bunch of different things, but he doesn't like it. I think he feels that he is corrupted, that he is wounded, that he is broken. And so his focus on what is pure is to say, let's get away from those things that corrupt, from those things that take us away from our ideal state. The difference, I think, is for me and for Paul, and by the way, others, is that I don't hate my body. I don't hate my life. No, I'm not suggesting corruption is a good thing, but the mixing of things isn't bad at all. So I'm not so sure about pure. Pure to me just, I don't know, sets a standard that leaves people out. So I will struggle with pure, but I'll appreciate what Paul, I think, means by it himself, which is just love. Just pure love, pure intent, no hidden agendas, not corrupted, not manipulative, just pure. And I appreciate that. I would have been okay to leave out what is pure and just stay and leave with whatever is pleasing. And I really like that. Whatever is pleasing. Instead of focusing on those things that get you upset, that get me upset, get us all upset, why not instead focus on the things that make us happy? I mean, people often go, oh God, yeah, that's all that YouTube's all about. It's just about cat videos. Is that the worst thing that could be? That people like to watch cat videos, make them just, My wife weirdly likes to watch the Horse Guard at Buckingham Palace. Because you go to YouTube and you can watch for an hour. There's just the fellow there with his horse, or yeah, the soldier there with their horse, and the public go by and they have their picture taken with the horse, and you can watch that just as if you were standing outside Buckingham Palace. You can watch that for hours. My wife finds it very calming. People like ASMR video. They like that sound, that calming sound that connects to them. I think Paul would appreciate that. I have this weird fascination with trawlers. I don't know what it is. Like trawler yachts, a trawler that I could live on, somewhere between 40 and 56 feet. Never gonna own one. I don't know why, but I'm fascinated by them, and I'll watch them, and they just make me feel, I don't know, calm. I think Paul would appreciate that. I think Paul would appreciate that. So whatever is pleasing. And then he says, and focus also on whatever is commendable. So I don't know that trawler yachts are particularly commendable, and I'm not sure the cat videos are, and I don't think the Buckingham Palace horses are either necessarily commendable, but they are pleasing. But commendable is then also to focus on those things that are worth sharing. Mean, we're all so quick to share. Did you hear about so and so? Oh yeah, but that's not commendable. But when we share good news, did you hear about this? I had a friend send me an email today about a movie that her cousin made and what a great movie it was and how it's a really great look into history and things that we didn't know about. And see, that's commendable. Focusing on those things, the things that you can share. Right? I mean, that's the point. I mean, if something's commendable, then someone has, recommended it to you, or you're recommending it to somebody else, you're sharing it. Recommend, recommendable. You got that, right? So it's about sharing those good things. So focus on, so what I hear Paul say is focus on sharing the good things and the things that make you happy. And the things that are honorable and true. Those are important. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on those things. And in this day and age, I need to hear that because it's so easy for me to focus on the negative, to get drawn into the turmoil of it. I'm not a movie critic, and I haven't seen the movie yet. So I wouldn't. So I don't know anything, other than to say, in advance of the opening of the Marvels movie, so it's a Disney Marvel movie about at least three superheroes. Anyway, the advance on it was really good, and people I knew who had seen the advance screening had praised it. So it was a lot of fun, not the greatest thing in the world, but just so much fun. Boy, I really needed it. I had a great time. Blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, well, that's a great movie then. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And then it came out, and in my newspapers, a couple of people were like, oh, "This is the worst thing ever. This is terrible. This is a they've only made $47 million. So this is the greatest flop that Disney's ever had. They weren't talking about the film itself. They were talking about the fact that it hadn't done a lot of box office in its opening weekend. Therefore, it was a great big flop. And my brain went, oh, it's probably not a very good movie. I don't think I'm going to go see it. Wow. That's just a stupid movie. How easy is it to do that with people or with faith? You know, I have a certain opinion about faith, and then something happens, and I just, oh, well, then there. I know what I think about Christians, and then a group of people calling themselves Christians will do something, and it's just, oh, well, the heck with Christianity. It's all garbage. Done. Well, no, there actually might be something in there for you. There might be something in that faith and in that expression. You know, we just like to switch things around so quickly. And what I hear Paul saying is, no, don't do this. Stay focused on the positive. Doesn't mean ignore the negative, but focus on the positive. Okay? That's the key, is to stay focused on the positive. Think on those things. Not ignore the negative. Okay? If somebody is abusive to you in a relationship, and I'm not talking about physical abuse. I'm just meaning, well, maybe I am, and then please call the police, get help. But if somebody hurts your feelings in the relationship, okay, then address that. Honorably, you know, speak with them, do what you can. It depends on what kind of relationship it is, what kind of help you need, but get the help. But don't lose track of why that person's in your life to begin with. So you don't focus on the good and forget the parts that hurt, but you don't let the parts that hurt just color everything. No, you try to fix what doesn't work, remembering what does work. I think that's what Paul is saying to the church of Philippi. You know, yes, fix the stuff that doesn't work, but don't forget what does work. You're a great community of faith. We know Paul's very fond of them. He says so quite regularly. He's proud of them, and he wants to remember that. He also wants them to resolve their issues, but don't forget why they are who they are. So if I have a friend who hurts my feelings, it's easy to just shut them down, cut them out, be gone, walk away. But I lose the benefit of that friendship. And there were good things in that friendship. That's why we became friends. So I hear Paul saying, okay, so remind yourself what's good. And because you know what's good, go back and address what isn't. Now, it might turn out that becomes a wedge that drives you apart, but let it be the wedge that drives you apart. Not you going like, well, they've hurt me and I'm out. Now I'm turning this into, yeah, I know, Dr. Phil advice, so I'm going to probably stop that. I think there's a lot in what Paul is saying here. And as I say, I struggle with his use of pure. I think that comes out of his experience more than it comes out of mine. Might also be addressing those who are, well, no, it's using the language of Pharisees and those who are observant first century Jews in terms of purity, rules around purity. You know, it's interesting now that I'm thinking about that. Paul was saying you don't have to be kosher and you don't have to do any of those things, but is now calling for purity. And that's so much a part of what those rules and regulations were about, Paul. But a purity code, and yet you're still focused on it. Maybe that's just something he carries from his years as a Pharisee, his years as a passionate, observant first century Jew. But I honestly don't think the list is diminished by taking out pure, personally. But that's just me. I'm going to leave it with you. See what you think works in that list for you. Maybe what else could be added to that list. You know, what else should be there? I mean, I would add something in there about, you know, something to focus on, something that makes you laugh. You say, well, laughing and pleasing are the same thing. Yes, except that laughing also disarms you. laughing disarms me anyway, and so suddenly when I'm disarmed, I am more open to things than I might be otherwise. Pleasing, I just go, ah. Oh. Anyway, I am going to leave this with you and simply offer a prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for Paul's life and Paul's struggle. Thank you for Paul's passion and Paul's faith. Thank you for Paul's letters, for Paul's words, and the ways that they affirm us and challenge us, the ways that they engage us. God, thank you for this time to engage with Paul's words, that we might begin to hear your word, hear what you are saying to us in this moment. And God, as we hear you, may we have the courage and the imagination to follow. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's enough of me today, but I will see you tomorrow and we'll wrap up the letter. And I think we'll go to another letter next week so that come December we'll start on a gospel. Anyway, that's advance. For now, God bless you. God bless you. Please know that God knows you, that God loves you exactly as you are, exactly where you are. And please know that God's love not only embraces you, but moves through into the world. You make a difference. So God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.